Folks, if you have your Bibles, could you open them again? There's at page 216. Now, when anybody comes to get married, if they're coming to get married, you have to come for marriage preparation classes. And you get a couple that come along, sometimes old, sometimes young. And the idea is to sort of give an idea of the expectations you have of one another. That's what the classes are sort of meant to be for. So you have to sit girls down and remind them that fellas are generally good people of their word. Men are men of their word. And if a man says he'll do something, he'll do it. You don't need to remind him every 6 months. All right? Now, that may be a bit lighthearted than what they're saying, but the fact is that there's jobs and things that you don't want to do in your life. There's things that you don't really want to get involved with, and you will put off and put on the long finger. But if something's really important, what you'll find is you'll do it. If you see it as being really important, you'll get down to it and you'll get it done. And how much more so if it's God who's telling you to do something? And how much more so if you know it's God that's telling you and it's going to benefit everybody you know and love? You're going to get down to it and you're going to be busy at what you're doing. And last week we met these people. They were really discouraged, really frightened by what God had called them to do. They knew that what was lying ahead of them was really dangerous, and they were on the other side of the river. They didn't know how it was going to look like or what was going to happen, and they were really nervous and afraid. And God again and again says, listen, I want you to be of good courage. I don't want you to be afraid. I am going to be with you. And we took that encouragement for ourselves in the middle of what everything God calls us to, that God will be right there with us in the middle of all that goes on. God reminded them that they're about to enter this land, that he personally gave it to them. This land was given to them by God. And over generations, he's been telling them, listen, I've got something for you. All the way back hundreds of years to Abraham, God has been saying, listen, I've got a promised land for you. And here these people are sitting on the cusp of it. And he says, listen, everywhere you set your foot, I'm going to give you that. And he says, all the way from the desert through to Lebanon, it's going to be yours. And all the way from the great river Euphrates, right round to the Mediterranean, it's going to be yours. He says, listen, be encouraged. Be a good cheer. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be frightened. I'm going to be with you every step of that journey. Now, you've got Joshua, who was as much in need of that encouragement as their leader as anybody was. And Joshua hears that encouragement. He hears exactly what God tells him to do. And immediately, he gets up and he starts doing what God's told him to do. Get the officers. The officers all come in. He says, listen, go and tell everybody you need to get ready. 3 days, we're crossing the river. We're going in to take hold of the inheritance that God's promised to us. And you can imagine the old war machine's not anything like a new war machine. You've got this whole supply chain bringing petrol and fuel and all the different food and things up to the front. They don't have that. If you're going into war in those days, you carried everything. So 3 days is enough for these people to get all they need together for war without them sitting about. Because if you're heading into war, you don't want to be sitting about, thinking about what's going to happen, and it's not going to give any time for silly chat amongst people either that would maybe discourage them. And there's a direct application from what happens with Joshua to us here today and what God calls us to do. And I want to ask you a wee question. Has God spoken to you? Has God ever spoken to you about something that you should do? You've had a thought about what I feel I should be doing. I feel God really saying that to me, that I should be doing this particular thing. Maybe it's taking a stand for God in work or amongst your friends or in your family or in a place of study and saying, well, listen, you really need to step up and let these folk know that you are a Christian and a follower of Christ. Maybe it's an attitude or a habit that's just been lingering in your life and God's been prodding at it and saying, listen, this needs to change. This can't go on like that. That needs to change. Maybe it's something God wants you to get involved with or something God wants you to do, and he's given you talents and he's given you abilities and you've been drawn towards something and you say, well, yeah, I think God's drawn me to that. I really should be involved with that. Maybe it's even just calling with somebody. Listen, are you free for a coffee? And God's been putting that person on your mind to say, listen, will you call around and visit with them? Will you call over and see how they are? Maybe it's your daily quiet time, reading the Bible and praying. You've become really undisciplined with that and you're not reading and praying the way that you should. And God's saying, listen, if you want to grow, come back to that. Come back to how you should be doing your Bible study and reading with God. God's speaking to you about something. You've known God pointing and directing, and you think, well, listen, if I do that, I know I'll be closer with God. I know if I follow that direction, it'll bring me a bit closer to that relationship with him and my obedience with him. It'll be good for me as well. Now, Joshua knew that. Joshua knew what God was asking him to do, and he knew that he was called to do something specific. And straight away, immediately, he gets up and he does what God has asked him to do. There's a real sense of urgency in what he does. And can I say to you, that translates to us as well. I would urge you to do the same. As God speaks to you about things that you should be doing, act on it straight away. And the reason I'm saying to you to act on it straight away is, I know that someday is not a day of the week. And that's the day that I choose to do the things that God calls me to do. And I mean, I wouldn't say no to God. And I know most of you wouldn't say no to God. God, I'm not doing that. Yes, I'll do it. Someday. Someday in the future. Someday when it's more convenient. Someday when it feels a bit more right. Someday when I've got a bit more time. And you will find that that putting off of whatever it is gets all the more difficult the job is, the more it's going to be difficult, hard, embarrassing, or costly to you. If it's going to be embarrassing, costly, difficult to you, you will find that it'll go even further on the long finger and put off to someday. The big word for it's procrastination. Putting it off. And what I'm saying to you this morning is you will not find spiritual growth in that place of procrastination. Putting off to tomorrow what God's asked you to do today. You will not grow. You will start to be stunted. You will not find a path of joy and peace there. You will find that you're not fulfilling your ultimate purpose, which is to bring glory to God, because you are putting off what God has asked you to do. Do you know, there's nothing more pleasing for me as a parent, or if you're a teacher in school, or if you're an employer, if you ask somebody to go and do something, that immediately, without any thought, they get up and go and do it. That thrills me as a parent. It thrilled me when I was school teaching as well. And if you're an employer, I'm sure it would thrill you as well if you had employees that you thought, just ask, and somebody gets up and gladly goes and does what you've asked them to do. And so what I would say to you is that your immediate response to what God asks you to do brings glory to him. It pleases him. It pleases God when he finds somebody that when he prompts you to do something, you immediately go and you do it. And what you will find for yourself is that you will find yourself in a real place of purpose, joy, and peace. A real place of growth. Now let me tell you what the temptation is. The temptation is not to act on what God is calling you to do. Whether he's maybe calling you into a relationship with him immediately, or whether he's calling you in an act of service or something else that he's calling you to do. That temptation not to act isn't a new thing. It's always been there. And it will always be there for you. And let me say something to you. It gets even bigger the more comfortable you get. The more comfy that you get settled down into your life and nestled in, the more difficult it is to get change and to follow what God wants you to do. And it's called the comfort zone. And that's exactly where you'll find these people who are in verse 12. They're living in the comfort zone. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They're called the Transjordan tribes. They live on the other side of the Jordan River. And let me just explain how they got there. It was they're coming up for 40 years of struggling in the desert. On the way up, they've already killed a couple of kings. They've already taken over a load of land. And when they came up in to look at that land, it's down beside in a river, the River Jordan, and it's beautifully lush. And these folk are herdsmen. They've got loads of sheep, goats, and livestock. And so these two tribes get themselves together and they go along to see Moses and they say, Moses, listen, if we've found favor in your eyes, mate, tell you what, could we have all of this land here on this side of the river? And don't make us go across the river with everybody else. Don't make us go over there and fight with all of them. Let us stay here. Do you know something? Moses was really annoyed. Really, really annoyed. He says, right, so you're going to sit here. Everybody fought to get you your land. Everybody was joined together and fought to get you your land. You're going to take your land, you're going to sit here, and you're going to leave all your brothers and sisters and the rest of the nation to go across to the other side and to fight there on their own. He says, what you're asking is desperately wicked. It is exactly the same thing that happened 40 years ago. We sent out 12 spies into the land, and 10 of those spies came back, and they brought a bad report. They said, oh, don't go up and take over there. There's giants in the land. Don't go up there. It's far too difficult. It's a hill country. There's strong people. And they discouraged the whole nation of Israel, even though God had told them to go. And as a result, God said, right, get out. Get out, every one of you. And all of them were sent out into the desert for 40 years until not well, all but two of them were dead. All but two. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, the fellow who's leading them. Two spies who brought an encouraging report were the only two who got through into the land. The rest of them died in the desert. And he says, you're doing the exact same thing. You're going to discourage these people. So they went away and they thought about it, and they came back and they said, well, listen here. We recognize we've been wrong in what we said. We've been wrong in what we've done. Now, we still want the land. Still really good land for cattle and for sheep and goats and livestock. We want it. But I tell you what we'll do. We will be first to leave here. Let us build pens and stuff and cities. And we'll be the first to get out and cross the river to go in. And we will be the first in and we will be the last out. We'll not leave until every single person gets their inheritance. And then we'll come home. And Moses said, right, fair enough. But you remember something. You've promised this. You remember. Because I tell you, if you go against it, it is sinful. And be sure your sin, it will find you out. And so these people have received their inheritance. They've already started to settle down already, started to build pens and villages and cities. And they are really comfortable. Now they're living alongside folk who have not received their inheritance, who have no homes, who are sitting not knowing what the future holds for them. But they've got pens, they've got cities, they've got their children. And the big temptation here is for these folk to lie back and say, well, listen, sure what, it was only words, we only promised a few things. I'm not going over there. Sure, you know, you never know if you're coming back or not. Leaving my wife and my kids and my wealth and my job and all the stuff I've took time to gather up, and I don't know whether I'll see it again. Now for us, whenever we come to know Jesus Christ as our Saviour, there's this initial excitement. There's something that we know God's working inside us. That God's doing something and changing us when we come to know Him. We talk to others about our faith. It seems to come out nearly naturally. You're talking to folk and saying, listen, God's doing something to me. Something's changed. Or somebody asked you, well, what are you doing that for? You say, well, something's changed in me. God's doing something in my life. We're excited. And what you find is that you're fighting new battles within yourself. You're fighting against things you didn't even know were there. These interests and things that are inside that never bothered you beforehand. And all of a sudden, this new nature inside battling with that. And there's change going on in your life. Things that you used to do, you can't be happy with. And that you're battling with those things to get rid of them. But then what happens is, over time, you start to become comfortable. You start to get to a place where you settle down. A place where you no longer want to hear God correcting you. A place where you don't want to have any change brought about. I like things the way they are. I like the things that I'm used to and the habits that are there and the routines that I have. I'm not really interested in any new area of service for God. I really don't want to share my faith anymore because, you know, it makes people uncomfortable when I talk about Jesus, and I don't really know how upset they'll get. And I don't want to be going around upsetting people. I don't pray as often as I should. I know that now, but sure, really, what difference does it make whether I pray or whether I don't? You know, I would read my Bible more and I would pray and set a time in, but you know something? It's a wee bit like hard work. You have to be a wee bit too disciplined to do that, and really, what difference does it make to me? My life seems to be the same anyway. I don't really feel the need of praying with other Christians. It doesn't seem to make any difference. You start to find that perhaps you become a bit more tight with your resources as well, with your money. You say, well, listen, God has all the money in the world, and you know, I mean, I need it a bit more than He does. And you do exactly the same thing with your time. Do you know, I'm really short of time. It's just a rush. Everything's a rush everywhere. And, you know, God's want me to do this, and I haven't the time. I can use that time better than what God could use it. And so we don't want to hear God speak. And the big temptation is that not to say no, because you know that that's wrong. God, I'm not doing that. The big temptation is procrastination. I'll do that, Jesus, sometime. Sometime in the future when I've got this, or when that changes, or when this a wee bit better, when I'm more able to share my faith and know a bit more, I'll do that, and I'll maybe talk to the folk in work. I'll maybe be a bit more disciplined in my Bible time when I've got this sorted out and this done, and so-and-so starts school, or this happens, or I finish work, or I do the other. God, I'll be a bit more generous with my time and money whenever this situation arises. arises when I've got more resources or when I've got more time. And the result is that mature Christians have the same effect on new Christians and other Christians as those people and those 2.5 tribes would have had on the whole nation. Moses said if they did what they were going to do, it would discourage the whole nation. And if mature Christians live in that way, what happens is when a young Christian comes in or another Christian comes in and looks and says, well, listen, there's what a mature Christian looks like. And yet a mature Christian has no desire to pray. A mature Christian who has no desire or need of seeing that they share their faith with other people, has no desire to meet in Bible study, no desire to share what they've been reading with others because probably they've stopped reading. No idea to share what they've been praying about and seeing what God working because they've stopped praying and really don't believe that God does answer prayer. Little desire to invite others to hear God's word. And that for a young Christian or any other Christian is deeply discouraging. It's deeply damaging. And the effect of not responding to what God tells you to do is that it robs you as well. It will rob you of blessing and spiritual growth. It will rob you of peace and joy in your own life. And it robs God. Because when you're living out the things that God has asked you to do, it brings glory to him. And therefore, by you long fingering it and putting it off, it robs him. Now let's look at what happens when you do what you should be doing, when you act on things immediately. When you respond to God's call, and you see these people here, they've made promises, and the first thing that they do is that there's no longer stagnation. There's a real determination by everyone to move forward and get the job done. These fellas here are up. They've left everything, and they're standing first people to cross the river. They're fired up for it. Look how enthusiastic they are. They said, listen, if somebody doesn't do what you say, we'll kill them. Let's get stuck in. Let's get... That sort of enthusiasm leading from the front, what's that going to do for the people that are following along behind? It's going to fire all of them up with a real determination. It brings a spirit of unity. Well, the boys at the front are that. There's an enthusiasm there. I'm up for this. Let's go. And it gives a sense of direction. There's the direction. And we're all heading that direction with a real sense of encouragement. And a real sense of being fired up for the mission that's at hand. And so, folks, what I'm doing this morning is I'm going to leave this with you. And ask you just a couple of questions. I don't know what God's been speaking to you about. I'm not talking about this because somebody shared something with me. God speaks with each of you individually. Each one of you will hear different things from what God wants you to do with different talents and abilities that you've got. Are you willing to leave the comfortable place that you're in at the minute and say yes and go immediately and do what God's asking you to do? Will you go to those uncomfortable places that God is leading you to? Because what I'm telling you now is you will find a real sense of joy there, a real sense of growth, and a real sense of excitement and purpose in your walk with God. And will you, by your keenness and following God's lead, be someone who encourages others? You'll find it hard to meet somebody who's up for it and up for the Christian faith and up for seeing the kingdom of God push forward that it doesn't rub off on you and say, listen, I love that. I met an old boy one day outside the Ulster Hospital, give me a gospel tract. 89 years of age. Son, are you ready for heaven? I thought he could be sitting in a nursing home somewhere. I mean, the fellow looked half dead there, love him. And there he was up, out for it. And I thought to myself, a fella that age can do that. You know, I mean, I felt ashamed. Fires you up. What I just want to say to you today, what sort of person are you going to be? Long fingering and saying, well, today's another day, I'll go home from church, and those things that you've been talking to me about again, yeah, someday. Someday. Are you going to be somebody that says, listen, immediately, I'm going to implement this, whatever it is you're talking to me about, God? Let's pray. Father, our desire is that we would move with a spirit of unity and a real enthusiasm for you and for your kingdom goals. Lord, we want to see you growing in us. And Lord, we want to see us growing as a fellowship together in the direction we're going. Father, forgive us when we are a discouragement to others by our lethargy, by our putting off of those things, Lord, that you've been directing us to do. Father, we, Lord, ask for your forgiveness for the glory that has been robbed from you as a result. And Father, we pray that, Lord, more and more that we'll be walking in the path that we should be walking. Father, we commit all these things to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.